Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, Amazing Imagineering Feats, Fried Chicken Day,
the history of fireworks at Disneyland, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly for the week of July 4th, 2018. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Therese Urban. As all of you know, Disneyland officially opened on July 17th, 1955, so it's a really important month for the resort. But most of you probably don't know that Teg and I share a birthday month with Disneyland. So to celebrate all three of our birthdays, we are offering a special bonus to anyone that becomes a patron during the month of July. It doesn't matter if you join at the general admission level or Club 33. We want to celebrate with you.
Yep, so please, please, please become a patron this month and help us get to our goal and get that special little something for joining this month. Now, let's get to the news. Just a quick program note to let you guys all know that at the very end of this podcast episode, I've included the Disneyland 4th of July fireworks soundtrack for your listening pleasure. Enjoy! A video popped up online this week showing what Walt Disney Imagineering has been working on. The video shows the advances they've made on robots that could take the place of stunt workers in future shows and attractions. I know a lot of people online have been thinking, and I think, Teresa, you just watched the video and you just said the same thing, that this is probably from Marvelland.
Definitely is. They looked a lot of the poses that they had this robot doing while soaring and flying through the air looked very suspiciously like superheroes.
Yeah, it looks really neat. I think they still have a little bit of work to do because like they had the one section where this thing like jumped and like did a flip, and then it looked like it didn't quite correct, like it was maybe supposed to land, but it like went too far and kind of fell back on itself. But it's definitely interesting, and it's very human-like. So, you know, we think it's exciting to see the animatronics for, like, Pandora or Red in Pirates of the Caribbean, but then when you see this, it's like, wow, this is, a person.
And it's just, like, an entirely different level, and it's something that we really haven't seen before, so it's even more exciting for that reason, too,
I think.
In honor of National Fried Chicken Day on July 6th, Disneyland will be hosting their inaugural Fried Chicken Celebration. The classic picnic meal can be found at the Plaza Inn or at Flo's Cafe. The Disneyland chefs shared some of their secrets to explain what makes their fried chicken stand out. The Plaza Inn's signature chicken dinner plate features three pieces of herb-seasoned, crispy fried chicken, mixed vegetables, mashed potatoes, and a buttermilk biscuit. The culinary director at the Disneyland Resort, Chef Johnny Hall, explains, "Our sweet and savory brine chicken is lightly coated in a secret flour blend of garlic and spices, then fried under pressure to create a delicate and magical crunch. The simple approach, known as broasting, results in a distinct, deep, golden brown color and crispy exterior, and an unbelievably juicy interior." Well, over in California Adventure at Flo's V8 Cafe, they have their own take on this American classic. Flo's famous fried chicken is accompanied by seasonal vegetables, garlic mashed potatoes, and gravy. Chef John State, culinary director at the Disney California Adventure Park, shares, "Our chicken sings of toasted flour and notes of a rich egg batter, scented with prominent ground black pepper spice. While the exact science to this recipe is a secret that's only known to Flo, we use a traditional basket fryer, ensuring that there is a pronounced crunch with every bite and the meat is filled with sweet, salty juices."
Are you excited about this?
You know, I do enjoy fried chicken. I don't know anybody that really doesn't enjoy fried chicken. However, I have not had the chance to experience chicken at either of these places, and now I'm really bummed that I didn't try it, because we did eat at the Plaza Inn the last time we were there, and I considered it, But something else caught my eye, so I actually chose a different dinner plate there. But after reading this, it's like making my mouth water, and I'm really wishing I would have gotten it.
See, I'm the opposite. Next time. See, I'm the opposite. I am not a huge fried chicken fan. Like, when my family wants to go do, like, KFC, and I know KFC is not, like, good fried chicken necessarily, but I just don't get excited about it. And even, like my mom has made fried chicken before, and she makes, like, a gravy that goes with it that's pretty good. But I don't know. Maybe this culinary masterpiece of fried chicken would be good.
I don't know. These sound like it's definitely a few steps above your normal average fried chicken. So.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'd have to try it.
Next time we go, let's go share. We'll share the three-piece plate at the Plaza Inn.
You can order it, and then you can eat it, and I'll just take a bite of it.
You can have a leg.
Well, just a quick note to point out that if you are interested in catching the new Incredibles float as part of Paint the Night, you only have one chance per night, as the show has been cut back from two nightly showings when it came back earlier this year. So I saw this online, and I tried to go back in the calendar, and it looks like they've been doing just one show a night for a little while. So it looked like only when Paint the Night like premiered for this season was it two nights, and I didn't want to go through, like, I had to go through literally like every single day one day at a time to figure this out, and I wasn't going to do that. So it's kind of like a note, just to let you guys know. Because if you want to see the new float, it's only once a night. That means that the crowds are going to be busier.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think they should have left it two shows a night.
Well,
especially with World of Color down.
That's true. That's very true. I was going to say, when I visited the parks late May, it was only one showing
was
a night.
It?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But that was also during grad nights, too, though. So California Adventure was closing earlier anyway because of grad night. So, yeah, I don't know. Well, looking to grab a Fast Pass for Radiator Springs? Well, you won't find it over at the old location. The Fast Pass distribution point has moved to the area behind Ramones. The old location, near the entrance to A Bug's Land, has closed to make way for the construction that is soon to begin on the new Marvel area.
Yeah, so again, this is just kind of like a housekeeping news article. So if you're looking for that Fast Pass, don't make a beeline over to buy A Bug's Land. It's not there anymore.
Yeah, you gotta go a little further.
Yeah, it's actually inside of Radiator Springs now. So,
you know, I kind of like that, honestly. It never really made sense to me why it was all the way out there. Maybe it was just kind of since it was just right off the main area. But I do like that it's actually now in Cars Land.
Well, it was in Cars Land when the land first opened. But what happened was it was right by the entrance to the attraction. And it was getting such a long line that it was just causing a huge bottleneck inside Cars Land. So they had to move it out. But now I think it's calmed down enough that people, you know, like Guardians of the Galaxy is a bigger draw. All the stuff with Pixar Pier is kind of a bigger draw right now.
That's true. So they do have all of their big attractions are now working and functional, and they can kind of disperse the crowds a little bit more.
Right. Well, this week is probably the last week that you'll be able to park in the Stitch parking lot, as it's being converted to a staging area for the new hotel construction. The security checkpoints in this area are also being moved, along with the checkpoints between the former ESPN Zone and Rainforest Cafe location. The security checkpoint will be located to an area between the old AMC Theater and the Lego Store. The same checkpoint will be used for guests of the Disneyland and Paradise Pier hotels, as well as guests who park in the Lion King lot. There have also been rumors that construction in downtown Disney will cause closures of the monorail, but there hasn't been any official word on that.
No, don't close the monorail.
Well, not like permanently.
I know, but even temporarily, that's still sad.
Yeah. Well, you know, this whole area is just going to be one giant construction area pretty soon.
Oh, but I'm so excited to see what the new hotel is going to bring for us.
Yep.
Work on the new parking structure is moving at a rapid pace. Since the beginning of the vertical construction, the new structure has gained quite a bit of height. It's starting to look more and more like this might make it in time for the grand opening of Galaxy's Edge next year.
Yeah, so again, to go along with that previous story, there's just so much construction that's happening here. You know, there's been rumors about when the construction or the teardown of the old locations in downtown Disney's going to start. Obviously, they kicked everybody out at the end of the last month, so this is just the beginning of July. We're only, you know, as of recording this, we're 3 days into July, and it's a holiday week, so I assume next week they're going to start with all the construction with this. So it's definitely going to be kind of a sprint to try to get all this stuff done, and hopefully they have at least the main parts where people need to come into the resort on that side complete by the time Galaxy's Edge opens. Otherwise, it's going to be a nightmare.
I hope so, too. It's just mind-boggling to me how much is going on right now construction-wise at the resort, and they haven't even started all the projects yet. So it's just going to be, really interesting to watch their progress and see how it all comes together in time for Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting logistics-wise.
Yeah, for
sure. I was thinking about it when I was looking at the pictures and writing the story. I was kind of thinking about, you know, trying to decide, like, okay, you know, for coming up with a strategic plan to, like, get all the pieces moved to where they need to get, like, how much, you know, they probably have an entire team of people that just sit and, like, coordinate all this stuff.
It'd be interesting to know how many people it takes to make this structure, make this parking structure come to be. Just the parking structure. How many different workers do they have on that project alone, let alone the people that are then going to be working, how many people are going to be working on this hotel project versus how many people have been working on Galaxy's Edge? It's just amazing to me when you think about it that way.
Yeah. Well, this week, our discussion topic, we kind of ho-hummed around a couple things. At first, we were going to talk about just the 4th of July throughout the years at the Disneyland Resort, but we had kind of trouble finding anything really about the 4th of July at Disneyland other than like the most few recent years.
Yeah, we found stuff, obviously, but just not really enough to really like have a good discussion about it. So we are going to talk about 4th of July celebrations in the park. But, I mean, what goes better with 4th of July than fireworks? So we're also going to talk about the history of fireworks at the park.
Yeah, definitely. So I don't know about you, Teresa, but I am a huge, huge fireworks fan.
Oh, my gosh, me too. And honestly, I knew that this was going to come up at some point, but we're just gonna say it right off the bat. Disneyland and Disney in general has ruined all other fireworks shows for me because nothing beats the firework production that they do at a Disney resort. It is just unbelievable. It's just amazing and unreal. So going to like the 4th of July celebration in your hometown, yes, it's still fireworks, but it's just, man, I just can't. Every time I see it, I'm just amazed.
What bugs me the most, and I was telling James this because we went, so there's a company in our area, a grocery store chain, and they run fireworks. They do fireworks all over the state in various areas. Well, the fireworks for our area was actually back on June 23rd, so a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And I love that fireworks show because they do it in this park in Onalaska. They do it in this park, and you could sit on this little hill, and they launch them from the field in front of you. And one of the things I love about it is that as they launch, you get that launch noise, which I really like. So it's like, boom. And then, like, you know something good's coming because you'll hear, like, a loud foomp when it's going to be, like, a big, large one. But the thing that always disappoints me, and I turned to James and I said this, I said the same thing. I said, one thing that really bugs me is, why can't they sync music to this? It shouldn't be that hard to sync anything. Disney does it all the time, and I understand that they spend lots of money, which we will get into. They spend lots of money on these shows. But I just don't understand how with the controlling, I'm sure they have some type of control system that they could, I don't know. I just get disappointed because they do play music, but it doesn't at all go with what's going on.
Yeah.
So get us started, Teresa.
The local people, they just need to take some notes from Disney.
So where do fireworks start for Disneyland?
Fireworks actually first started in the resort. The first actual true fireworks show was actually back in 1956. So that was actually a year after the park had opened. So the rumor behind what started fireworks at the resort was that there were some fireworks tests over at one of the Disneyland parking lots when the park was closed, and Waltz was watching these tests, and so that just kind of inspired him. And of course, in true Walt fashion, he's like, well, hey, let's give it a try. Why not? You know, because it seems to me like he was just so nonchalant about stuff like that postcard that he saw in Switzerland with the Matterhorn Mountain, and he just sent it back saying, build this. Like, he was just very whatever about it. Very light, but very, I don't know. It was just interesting to me that it was just kind of a whim for him, and it's become this big, huge, everybody talks about Disney fireworks. Even if you haven't been to a park or haven't been to one of the resorts, people from miles around can still see these shows. I know people that lived next to the Disneyland resort that never actually went inside but always made sure to watch the fireworks from their apartment or whatever. Disneyland and Disney World are known for their fireworks. So for me to learn that it was just kind of a, oh, hey, let's give it a try. Like, why not? And it's now this big thing is just so interesting.
Well, you know, a lot of attractions in Walt Disney's era at the park were attractions built off kind of stuff like this. You know, the monorail, they just happened to see the monorail going along when they were in Germany.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's, you know, there's a lot of these things that, like, you know, just right place, right time, and Walt was there, and it just kicked off
it
something.
It just clicked, exactly.
And
exactly.
So it, you know, and you think of Disney, and I think one of the defining things when you think of Disney parks is fireworks.
For sure. I mean, how many images have you seen on the internet across forever of the castle with fireworks in the sky, you know, kind of framing it, or over in Pixar Pier, the Ferris wheel, the pal around now with fireworks and the, you know,
right.
Everything. Everything is fireworks is everywhere. Any well, postcard you see.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Even with the original, like with the Disney logo for movies now, you've got castle and the fireworks. Like fireworks are like a huge thing. So I actually find it really interesting that whole first year there was nothing. Like, mm-hmm. Walt took that long to get onto it. I did see
I guess he did have a few other things that he probably needed to kind of cement more. So
that's
since
true.
The park wasn't quite all the way
like
finished
the cement.
When they opened it. Yeah.
What's really interesting I'm seeing here on this site is that the show was actually created by hands. The employees were lighting the fuses with a flare.
Yeah. Yeah.
So definitely quite a ways from the original technology.
So it looks like the beginning in the late 60s is when the Disneyland Entertainment group kind of developed a system for firing the shells electronically. So these poor people didn't actually have to go fire by hand. And it sounds like they were touching the fuses of the fireworks with a flare to make them go. But so back in the late 60s is when they started doing it electronically, and then also synchronizing it to music. So back then, they kind of looked at it as fireworks choreography, and they actually storyboarded their shows just like they did their animated cartoons.
Right. And, you know, I can't wait to that part of our discussion here to talk about this. Since you're talking about storyboards, I think this is a great time to talk about it.
Sure.
So one of my fondest memories of talking about fireworks, like development, fireworks shows development for the resort, was I saw this video, and I've talked about it before on the show, I'm sure, of Steve Davison. He's just, it's so awesome because he's given us so many shows, experiences, spectaculars that, like, for me were very, like, awesome. And so the fact that he was involved with all these things, he's got a special place in my heart for that stuff. So really excited for that. When we get to it, but just his energy for these shows, and just like, you know, just imagine, like, how else are you gonna, I mean, you could do storyboards like this,
mm-hmm.
you could do, you know, nowadays you can use a computer and do, you know, show it on a computer screen what it's gonna look like,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but I don't know, would you be sold more with this guy jumping around a stage? Like,
I love, you've shown me that video, I absolutely adore that video, because he just had, I mean, he was just brimming with excitement that I don't know if that's, you know, that was him trying to describe the show, or if that's just how excited he was about the
right.
show. So he just kind of became the fireworks, but it's great. We should, you know, if we can, let's try and
find
a link
and, put that load.
And we will definitely post that in our show notes, so you guys are able to watch and enjoy that as well.
Yeah.
So something that also kind of goes along with the fireworks is Tinkerbell. I mean, she's classic. She's kind of one that starts off the show for us, for many of our shows. But so she actually came into the picture because Walt really had this vision to try and bring the television show World of Color to life. So in 1959, which was the same year the Matterhorn was built, they installed a cable from the Matterhorn, and it actually goes. We actually Google mapped and like Google Earth mapped this and followed the actual direct route. It actually goes behind the castle, almost over to Big Thunder Railroad. There's a tree, a fake built tree that's got a platform hidden inside, and that's where she lands.
Yeah, and we were looking at this earlier tonight. If you go to like Google Satellite View, mm-hmm. and you do like the little 3D button on the side, you can actually tilt the camera a little to the side, and you can actually see that the top looks like a tree.
Yeah.
But once you do this sideways view, there's like, it's a structure that looks mm-hmm. like a tree at the top.
Yeah, it almost looks like kind of like scaffolding almost
yeah.
at the bottom. Yeah. So honestly, it's one of those things that I'm sure I've seen it and never really paid attention. But next time I'm in the park, I'm going to make it a point to like find the actual tree. It does. So from what we could see on the Google image of the map, you can't walk up to the base of it for obvious reasons, because that would totally
it's in a backstage
totally,
area for sure.
totally ruin the magic, but for sure you can see the top of it. But anyway, so the first person that was Tinkerbell was actually a famous circus performer that Walt had hired, and her name was Tiny Klein. The thing that I find so interesting about this woman is when she first soared across the sky as Tinkerbell, this woman was 70 years old.
Wow.
Isn't that just crazy? I always think that it's got to be this, you know, young girl that's doing it, that's, you know, brave enough to do it. But no, it was a 70-year-old woman. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, that is definitely crazy. I know even at my age, I would not be doing that.
I've actually been reading a book recently that Tag was so kind to lend to me. It's called Mouse Tales, a behind the ears look at Disneyland. And actually the last couple of chapters ago, I was reading about Miss Tiny, and she was a daredevil. This woman was a spitfire. She was actually trying to get Walt to let her go down the wire by her teeth at one point. I mean, this woman was just like, this was her thing. I mean,
she didn't have dentures.
Yep, she really enjoyed it. So anyway, so she definitely makes sense why he was picking her as his first choice.
Yeah. And what's really interesting too is we talked about this a little before the show too, that it's not this way anymore, but originally it was just kind of like a zip line from the Matterhorn to this tree.
There was not really a braking system.
Yeah. So they had to, Teresa was saying in the beginning, they didn't have a mattress or anything. She like landed, like went into a pole or something.
Yeah. So she would kind of have to almost somehow slow herself down by hand, I guess would be a good way to explain it. And so one of the nights, she actually kind of landed in this padded pole that was on the other side of the platform. So they got together this crew of men that then would hold up mattresses and kind of catch her so that she wouldn't have to face plant into the pole again.
That would be, you know, I'm not a heights person. I would never do that job. Even as cool as it would be, I would not do the job.
Oh, it's
going
gotta
down
be
that.
Terrifying.
Well, especially like nowadays when you're flying very close to where fireworks are like exploding
exactly,
next to you.
That's true.
Because back when she was doing this, it was just Fantasy in the Sky. It was just in the back, but like back by Toontown. So mm-hmm. like she's far enough away. But this is like you got castle fireworks and the like. I don't know.
There's
fireworks so
all
much
over.
Going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-mm. I was thinking about that actually when I was watching the Pixar Nighttime Spectacular, because as Buzz is going past, they're still shooting off fireworks. I mean, granted, they're not the huge, big,
right.
You know, the big ones that fill the entire sky, but there's still stuff going on, and there's this guy in his suit, like, zipping along. Ooh, brave, very brave.
So speaking of Buzz Lightyear, who else has gone down the cord?
So we obviously have Tinkerbell. She was the original, but also Nemo from the movie Finding Nemo, Zero from The Nightmare Before Christmas, Dumbo, and then obviously Buzz Lightyear, and then also the house from Up have been different, I guess, icons, Disney icons, since they're not all characters, different icons that have slid down the line as well.
I think it's super cool that they expanded this to beyond Tinkerbell.
I think so, too.
Like, the house from Up, I thought, was a really cool addition, because it's like, oh, that's because it flies, you know,
well,
and Buzz Lightyear.
The other neat thing, too, was when the house from Up came out, you could just feel the tension in the audience, and there was an audible, oh, as it came, you know, came out, because it's just such this endearing symbol of hope and love and all that, so that everybody was just so touched by seeing it. Honestly, me personally, there was not enough Up house in that for me.
They
kind of like came out and went back right away, in my opinion. I wish they would have kind of floated along a little bit longer. But
so we're going to talk about now, we're going to go through the list of fireworks shows that have graced the skies of Disneyland. So, Teresa, what was the longest running fireworks show?
So the longest running was the original fireworks. Fantasy in the Sky ran from 1958 all the way to 1999.
What's really amazing about this to me is the first like handful of times I went to Disneyland, this was the show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great show. I remember it being a great show because kids, again, synchronized with music, mm-hmm. lots of fire, like it had a lot of fireworks and whatnot with it. So crazy. But all of the other fireworks shows that I think about, I feel like Disneyland had all these fireworks shows for like years and years and years. But when we started researching this tonight, like, it's only been the last, like, 20 years that they've had a bunch of different shows.
Yeah, some of these have had very, very short runs.
So the next show that that started actually is was the first one to really make a giant impact. And this, funny enough, was one of the first nighttime spectaculars that Steve Davison worked on called Believe There's Magic in the Stars. So this was the first big show that they did that had all these different different like explosions and stuff from different areas and different fireworks techniques that they hadn't done in other shows. So I just remember that it was super cool. The other thing that made it cool was that it was kind of longer. Fantasy in the Sky was only, I want to say, you know, it was about a 10-minute show. And the Believe Magic in the Stars, I think it ended up being like a 15-minute show, something like that. So I just remember, like, you know, it just felt like it went on forever in terms of a fireworks show. Mm-hmm. And it was so well done. You never saw Believe There's Magic in the Stars?
Actually, yes. Believe There's Magic. That was the first fireworks show that I got to experience at the Disneyland Resort.
Right. So the show itself kind of goes along, and it has musical themes from various Disney movies to help move along the story of everything. So this one is just about believing in magic. So the segments are broken up in, this show in particular is broken up into different segments. So there's the opening, which is just kind of getting you into Believe There's Magic in the Stars. And then you have A Whole New World from Aladdin, and You'll Be in My Heart from Tarzan. And then it goes into a Joy and Laughter segment, which brings in, again, Believe. And then Step in Time from Mary Poppins and Topsy Turvy from Hunch. I love Topsy Turvy, by the way.
Yes, that's a great song.
Of course, A Very Merry Unbirthday from Alice in Wonderland, which I also love. Under the Sea from Little Mermaid. Then it goes into In the Darkest Night, which again is Believe There's Magic in the Stars, and it's kind of a dark part of that. Then it goes into Two Worlds from Tarzan and Hellfire from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, which I also love that. Mm-hmm. And then it goes into the Believe segment, which again has the Believe part, and then When You Wish Upon a Star from Pinocchio. And then to finish it out, they have the fanfare, which again ends with Believe There's Magic in the Stars and When You Wish Upon a Star. So this definitely took you on a whole journey where Fantasy in the Sky was a lot of like musical accompaniments, but it wasn't themed really. It was just kind of like from one good song to another good song. This actually was the first time that they kind of like what they did with Fantasmic back in the early 90s, where the music took you through this story. Like, mm-hmm. You could listen to the soundtrack of this and it would take you there. So, like I said, one of my favorites. But another thing that spewed off of Believe There's Magic in the Stars was actually the first holiday fireworks show, which was Believe in Holiday Magic. Now, this show still plays at Christmas time.
Yeah.
They only skipped it twice in 2005 because they did the 50th anniversary fireworks, and in 2015 where they did the 60th anniversary fireworks instead for the holiday season. Now, one thing I love about Believe in Holiday Magic, have you ever heard the soundtrack for this one, Teresa?
I haven't, no.
So this one I love the beginning of because I like to say she's everyone's grandmother, and she comes on, and it's this old lady, and she goes, "Believe in the magic," and all this stuff. Like, she just sounds like a grandma, like everybody's sure. grandma, and I just love it, and I love the fact that when they did this fireworks show, they made Believe There's Magic in the Stars. They did that, and then for holidays, they did the exact same kind of theme, the Believe, but in holiday magic. So that's so cool. I kind of wish they would do that now, like when they would create fireworks show, they'd make like a special, because basically you got two new fireworks shows that mm-hmm. year. But like I said, Believe in Holiday Magic kind of stuck around.
Well, following Believe is we then had Imagine, which was a Fantasy in the Sky, which ran from June 1st, 2004 to April 30th of 2005. So this show opened with The Second Star to the Right, and then we had a woman that kind of said a piece, but then the different songs in this melody of classic Disney hits was Someday My Prince Will Come, So This Is Love, Once Upon a Dream, Chim Chimmery, Part of Your World, Beauty and the Beast, Just Around the River Bend, The Circle of Life, and A Whole New World. So to me, I did not have the chance to actually watch this show. But to me, just reading off what songs that they chose for this seems like a very endearing, a very uplifting, a very feel-good fireworks show.
Yeah. Now, this one was only around for like 1 year, like for one like season, because this was just to bridge the gap from Believe There's Magic mm-hmm. in the Stars to my favorite fireworks show of all time.
That's why I let you get this one.
Well, when we were talking, when we were leading up to it, I was looking and I was like, Teresa, you lead us you off because it'll not. Work out. It'll work out this way. This one is the one that when we post the video link to Steve Davidson, this is the one that he danced around the stage mm-hmm. and showed off. And just if for those of you who have never seen Remember Dreams Come True, go online, go find a video from back in 2005 when this debuted. Watch the debut year or two of this, because they did start to modify it because it was a very expensive show. So they did start to cut fireworks and cut scenes and stuff out of it. But this one is amazing because it has a lot of things in here that Disney fans love. First of all, it's got great music. But it brings Julie Andrews, who we all know from Mary Poppins.
Who doesn't love Julie Andrews?
Right. She was kind of the voice of the 60th or 50th anniversary, which was great. And then a lot of people who know stuff about Disney World, there's a very popular fireworks show that was out in Disney World for quite a few years called Wishes. Mm-hmm. So the very first act of Remember Dreams Come True is actually from Wishes. So you have an introduction by Julie Andrews. You have a little bit of When You Wish Upon a Star, but then it goes into all of these different pieces, which are actually from Wishes. And in fact, if you listen to the soundtrack, they do say Wishes a few times in there. And then there's Tinkerbell's Flight, which Tinkerbell flies over the castle. And this was the first year that they did the automated system where she can go back and forth mm-hmm, and go up mm-hmm, and down mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And if you, if I'm going to find that link to this video with Steve Davidson, because he talks about Tinkerbell coming up and he describes it as, we're going to like send her out on this cable and she's going to drop 50 feet. So it looks like she's falling off the Matterhorn. And it does look like that, because she comes out and this sucker just like, you know, I said I didn't want to go across like a zip line.
Right.
I want to go on this thing even less, because it goes out and drops. And then as she goes, and it goes back and forth. And if you mm-hmm. watch like a good version of this, like she's at the end of this rope and this thing goes and stops and she keeps swinging.
She swings.
And then it goes the other
way.
It's
like a pendulum.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So not my thing. But what makes this awesome is for all the Disneyland fans, who all of you listening to this are, is it does this middle part of the show, which is the best, which was called E-Tickets in the Sky. And basically, it brings you through a bunch of different attractions that have been in the parks, a lot of iconic things. Basically, it gave you a tour of Disneyland in a fireworks show. I mean, come on, people. So it started on Main Street, and you had the Maple Leaf Rag and the Baroque Hoedown, of course, from the Main Street Electrical Parade. And then you actually had the Main Street Electrical Parade music, the electric version. And then Jack Wagner shows up as the parade voice and the railroad announcer. And then, of course, it transitions into Adventureland, where we hit the Tiki Room and Indiana Jones, which is pretty cool. And then we transition to New Orleans Square, which this was awesome because they used the Matterhorn and the castle. And they had this pirate battle of fireworks shooting from the castle to the Matterhorn and the Matterhorn to the castle, like they were having a battle, like a cannon battle. Was so mm-hmm. awesome. And then, of course, you had Grim Grinning Ghosts and Yo-Ho Pirate's Life for me. And then it moved over to Frontierland, where you had some music. You had some stuff from Davy Crockett and Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. And then, of course, we moved over to Critter Country, Fantasyland, and Toontown, which was kind of all laugh and place. It had a lot of different music from all those different attractions. And then, of course, moved from that into Tomorrowland, which was awesome because they brought back the submarine voyage and some of the rocket jet stuff and just some of these different things. And then the Star Wars theme, which Star Wars theme just works great with fireworks.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then it came back to Julie Andrews, who talked about Disneyland being the happiest place on Earth and all this different stuff. So all these fireworks happen, and it's really awesome. And then, of course, they had a song at the end called Remember When, which was kind of like the, all right, fireworks are over, like disperse song. The good thing about this show is that it does take, like, they do bring it back a lot. In fact, Teresa was just saying that they brought it back. It was the fireworks show until Together Forever premiered this year. Mm-hmm. But like I said, it is in a more of a bridged version with a little bit less. They have added to it over the years. They've added the projections, because when the show first debuted in the 50th anniversary, it was only on the castle. But they've added It's a Small World and over it, where Fantasmic is in New Orleans Square. Then, of course, all down Main Street, those all have projections now. So I just remember the first time that I saw this show, I was in the hub, and the section with the stretching room comes, and all of these fireworks from literally all around the hub shoot up, and it's like you're in the stretching room of fireworks.
So amazing.
So the other thing before we get away from this too was for this particular show, $33,000 a show is how much that
cost. It's just mind-boggling to me. So one thing I'm going to add that Teg missed his little fit of excitement there. So during the opening, when you're when Miss Tinkerbell is flying out over the castle, they actually did have Walt Disney Originals opening day dedication speak for Disney playing, as well as the Wishes theme kind of behind him. So I thought that that was a really nice, I don't know, nod to the original, nod to the man himself, kind of a good way to tie everything together.
I agree.
So as we kind of said, this fireworks show has kind of been in and out, but the original opening day was May 1st of 2005, and the original closing date was November 2nd of 2014, but then they did bring it back for a short period from February 3rd, 2017 to April 12th of this year, 2018.
Yeah. I mean, it's popular. It's a great show. I'm actually surprised they keep bringing it back because it is such an expensive production, but I will never complain. Never. So this is kind of where things start getting confusing, because after Remember Dreams Come True opened, the next new fireworks show that would premiere was Magical, Disney's Nighttime Spectacular of Magical Celebrations, but everybody just called it Magical. It actually premiered in 2009, so Remember Dreams Come True ran for 4 years, but then a minute ago we just said that it ran to up till now, so what is this about? Well, Magical ran in the summers from 2009 to 2014, alternating with some other fireworks shows. So another show we're going to talk about later played in the fall for the Halloween time. The Believe in Holiday Magic, of course, we talked about already, played for the winter time. And then Remember Dreams Come True would play in the spring. So Magical was just the summer show for Disneyland. And you'll see that, like, for the next few fireworks shows, this has kind of been the schedule they've done. They've done a different show for summer, and then they've done all these other ones for the different seasons, if you will. So Magical, I remember seeing this one, and I thought that after seeing Remember Dreams Come True, this was kind of a letdown, because this it was such a cool show that it's so hard, like anything behind it is going to seem disappointing. So we had, so it kind of took you through a bunch of different magical things. So you had kind of an opening with this magical theme, and you went through the magic of childhood, the magic of a wish, the magic of imagination, the magic of a mother's love, the magic of a kiss, and then there's a good fairy pink-blue battle, and then there's a conclusion, which ends with a dream is a wish your heart makes. So there's a lot of stuff in this, you know, crammed in with the different themings and whatnot. It was a lot cheaper. It was only $25,000 a show. But like I said, this kind of went in and out. It was only in the summer times because we had a seasonal one for the Halloween time. We had Believe in Holiday Magic for the winter. And of course, Remember Dream Comes True in the spring. So after that, we had the Diamond Celebration fireworks. And which one was that, Teresa?
That was the Disneyland Forever fireworks. And so this one ran from May of 2015 through September of 2016. So this one, I thought this was interesting to me, is that they did launch both from backstage areas of selected locations within the park, as well as they had the largest projection mapping display ever presented at a Disney park, period. So this was even beating what was going on in Florida at Walt Disney World.
Wow.
So they had images projected on Sleeping Beauty Castle, the buildings along Main Street, the Matterhorn, the facade of Small World, and along the Rivers of America. And they used a total of 25 projectors to do so.
Wow.
So I thought that was really interesting. They really were they were trying to kind of encourage people to view the show from multiple areas to kind of distribute, you know, to help distribute the crowds a bit more. This show also featured fire effects, lasers, searchlights, and it was approximately about 14 to 15 minutes long. The show kind of, I guess, summary, we'll say, as far as the music went, was that it started with an open, which had a tradition, you know, the traditional fanfare.
Sure.
All right. So other songs that we had: Step in Time, of course, from Mary Poppins. I See the Light from Tangled. We had Heffalumps and Woozles from Winnie the
Great
Pooh.
Great song.
They had a kind of a jungle theme going for the next thing. It was the Circle of Life, as well as I Want to Be Like You. There was a sea section, which had different songs from The Little Mermaid, Under the Sea, as well as Finding Nemo. They had kind of the Ring of Fire scene.
Yes.
From Finding Nemo as well. Then they also had a snow area, which obviously snow had to be frozen. It was right. Let It, and of course it was Let It Go. So yeah, so this again was kind of, to me, this one's kind of, even though it was a short run show, this one really for me changed how they are going to be doing the shows in the future that really led up to what we now have with the Pixar Nighttime Spectacular. Because before this show, like we kind of said, they really didn't utilize projections in right. the volume like they did for this. So
yeah they definitely added that's what this show definitely brought. And I remember seeing this one because James and I were there for our honeymoon, and I was expecting, like, I don't know if I was really expecting, I guess that might be the wrong word, but I was thinking it was going to be like, it's the next decade, right? Mm-hmm. So I was thinking like, oh, they're going to one-up Remember Dreams Come True. And they didn't, although they did hit some nostalgia, because one of the things that they have at the end when I was reading this, I had almost forgotten about this show, to be honest. And I was reading the description.
Everything in your mind is just Remember Dreams
Come
True.
Well, it's true. But they had a thing at the end, so at the end, the buildings disintegrate, and as the finale culminates, a projection of Walt hand-in-hand with Mickey is shown, and Peter Pan is heard exclaiming, basically, Disneyland is yours forever. And I just remember it was cool because I've told this story on the podcast before when I went on the Walk in Walt's Footsteps tours. Mm-hmm. They had the guy talking about Mickey and Walt holding hands, right? I told you that mm-hmm. story, right? Yeah. And, you know, looking out and saying, you know, look at what we've created together. So it kind of hit that for me because it's projected on the part of the castle that is where the drawbridge is. So it looks like Mickey and Walt are holding hands and walking through the castle.
Oh, that's awesome.
And of course they say Disneyland's yours forever, which is kind of like, oh my God. Like, I don't know. It's definitely
hits you right in the feels.
It did. It did hit me in the feels. Although, like I said, this show for me, they spent a lot of money and time and effort on the projectors, and I feel like they really emphasized that and kind of went a little light on the fireworks, and that's where it kind of lost it for me, because I like the fireworks.
So that's something we didn't talk about this. So this is just us trying to do research online. Obviously, we did not get these numbers from Disney, but I'm finding that it was approximately $80,000 per showing for this show. So that has to have included the costs that they had put in for the projections.
It has to.
It had to have.
Yeah, or something. I don't know, but that seems...
It seems very steep for me, so I'm a little hesitant to even share that with you guys, but that was what we found. But like I said, it was, you know, averaged out them purchasing all the different projections and
which they've used
sort of
for
things.
A lot of different
stuff.
Oh, yeah,
stuff for
now. Sure. So before we move on to the current Nighttime Spectacular, which, Teresa, I think you're going to talk a lot about because you actually have seen it, let's talk about some of the shows that we haven't talked about that are seasonal. So there is a Halloween show that plays.
I want to see this so bad.
That used to be available for everybody to watch, but since they started doing the Halloween parties, I'm pretty sure now it is limited to you have to have a Mickey's Halloween party ticket to see this.
Oh, sure.
So it started in 2009, and it's called Halloween Screams. And some of the interesting things about this show that are different than the regular shows is, of course, you don't have Tinkerbell. You have Zero mm-hmm. coming down the line.
Our friendly little ghost dog from Nightmare Before Christmas.
And where would Zero be without Jack? They have a large inflatable Jack head that appears next to the castle as part of this show.
So, of course, since our show is starting with Jack and Zero, the overture from the Nightmare Before Christmas film is what kind of sets the stage for this show.
This show seems like it's like if you designed a fireworks show, this would be, because you love Nightmare Before Christmas.
I love Nightmare Before Christmas, and then we follow it up with the next song that we hear is Grim Grinning Ghosts, which we already know is another one of my favorites from around the park, which then again is followed by more Nightmare Before Christmas. This is Halloween.
That's my favorite song from that whole movie,
by the way. This is, the more I learn about this show, the more I'm like mentally planning my Halloween trip so that I can just, I just need to go see this show. So then after that, we have Ursula comes in. And so we kind of have a melody with Ursula and all of our other favorite Disney villains. So we get Poor Unfortunate Souls, Cruella de Vil, Never Smile at a Crocodile, The Elegant Captain Hook, The Skeleton Dance, which is actually from Silly Symphonies, Trust in Me, which is Ka from The Jungle Book. Heffalumps and Woozles again, Pink Elephants on Parade, and Who's Afraid of the Big Bad Wolf?
Of course, Oogie Boogie.
Yes, with his Oogie Boogie song, which then we go to Tag's, I think, favorite villain, if not favorite Disney character.
Who, Maleficent?
Maleficent.
Love Maleficent.
Yes, so she kind of is our next thing, and she actually visits, and so we have it's a song from Fantasia that some people may not know, but it's called Night on the Bald Mountain. It's kind of got that big gargoyle. I forget what
it's in Fantasmic.
Called. Yes. Oh, yeah. Dun, 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 dun. And then again, Hellfire from The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Yeah. You know, I need to watch Hunchback again because I feel like that's a lot darker of a movie than I remember it.
Oh,
especially
yes.
with like a song called Hellfire
yes.
in it.
Oh, yes. Yes, it is. It is a dark movie. But then we have a reprise of This is Halloween, Grim Grinning and Grim Grinning Ghosts. Followed up by one of my favorite Halloween movies from all time, I Put a Spell on You from Hocus Pocus.
Okay. I know this isn't...
I'm melting.
Right I know now. This isn't Disneyland, but...
I need... Yes.
Hold on.
Yes.
Have you... You know what I'm going to talk
yes.
about? What am I going to talk about?
You're going to talk about the Sanderson Sisters Halloween party at Walt Disney World.
Yes. The Halloween show where they come out.
I want to see it so bad.
I've seen the last 2 years of videos from people who have gone, and the people that they get to play the Sanderson sisters look like the Sanderson. It's awesome.
They're great. They're amazing.
Who doesn't? You know what's funny? They keep talking about making a Hocus Pocus, and Bette Midler is like on board. Like, she, in fact, all three of them are like, "We'll do it."
Yeah.
I don't know what you would do, but like, I don't even care if it'd be a terrible movie. I'd still go see it.
Who doesn't love Hocus Pocus?
You know what sunk Hocus Pocus? Let me double check. I'm pretty sure before I click on this, I think they opened it. I think it was like a June or a July release date in the theaters.
Really?
Like, why would you release? I'm looking here. Hold on. It July 16th, 1993.
Really?
Why would you release a Halloween movie in July?
Interesting. Somebody in marketing was, I guess, out sick that day or something when they made that decision.
Yeah. Right. Right. So that's
all right. So
Halloween
moving on
screams.
From Halloween,
yep.
As you guys can tell, Tag and I are both fans of Halloween. So thank you for bearing with us while we got very, very excited during that last.
And we talked about Believe
show.
In Holiday Magic already. Mm-hmm. So now we're on to today's fireworks show. What is today's fireworks show?
Well, I think we all know that since we've been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks now.
Right.
But it is Together Forever, a Pixar nighttime spectacular, which, as you guys all know, I was so privileged to be able to go see at the end of May. Gosh, it seems like that was a long time ago now.
Yeah, it
already
does. So the show begins with the Luxo ball, Luxo Jr. rolling towards the audience via projections, and Buzz Lightyear from Toy Story appears.
Oh, and he was so cool to watch because not only did they have him kind of going up and down and, you know, back
sure.
and forth on the wire, but the best part was at the end, he says to infinity and beyond, and they kind of like zoom him out of there, and he's got this like, I don't know, superhero pose, whatever
right.
you want to call it. One arm bent, the other one straight forward with his legs kind of doing the
right.
same thing, and he just flies away.
Very, very Buzz Lightyear.
Yes.
And then, of course, you got Doug from Up.
Oh.
And then the theme from Monsters, Inc. plays as mm-hmm. you get characters from Monsters University Finding Nemo and Inside Out. And then WALL-E, of course.
Yes, which with that heartfelt, it's called Define Dancing, which is basically it's the scene where he and Eve are kind of, I don't know,
in
floating
space, right?
and dancing, I guess, in space. Mm-hmm.
And then,
it's a
of
very
course,
sweet melody.
And then, of course, everybody's favorite part, Miguel from Coco.
Comes out with The World Is Mi Familia. I still can't get over those big, they have to be inflatables. The big inflatable skeletons that come up over Main Street. I mean, I knew they were coming, and I was still so excited when they were there. And I'd like, yeah, cheering, all that, such a Disney nerd. Don't care. But I just can't get over the crowd's reaction and how it just, you could just feel the energy kind of lifting and just kind of bursting out of everybody with that song. So many people were singing along. It just really kind of was the height of that fireworks show.
And then my least favorite song, because they've overplayed it with everything,
you know,
Cars, is Life is a Highway.
It's true. But after you're all pumped up from The World Is Mi Familia, Life as a Highway was a really nice follow-up, I guess, to it, because that's a song that everybody knows. It still has a good up, you know, good beat, still
sure.
upbeat. Plus, everyone knows it, so everybody was still singing along to it, and everyone kind of was, I don't know, dancing along to it. So
you know
it worked. It's not one of my favorite songs either, but I think it worked here.
But you know what's brought me, like, excitement was, okay, so I just recently, within the last few months, watched The Incredibles again, the original.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember from this show and from some of the stuff with The Incredibles, the music from Incredibles. I love the music from Incredibles. Yeah. And that's the next segment for this.
Yeah,
so
the next one's kind of like our dark scene or our, you know, kind of like impending doom scene. It's
Toy Story 3. That's dark.
It's the battle to defeat the Omnidroid from the Incredibles. And then there's fire that kind of shoots up and around Sleeping Beauty's castle. And it's kind of mimicking the incinerator scene, which is from Toy Story 3. Which this is a scene that a lot of people were a little iffy about because they thought it might be a little bit too frightening for children.
They didn't seem to think so when they made the movie.
But then all of a sudden, everybody looks up to the sky because the claw is there to save us, the toys. So it was really neat because I watched it in a couple different areas of the park, and each place you went, you felt like those spotlights were kind of up above you. So obviously they used multiples, you know, they did that on purpose to make that effect feel it. So I don't know how many spotlights they used to make this, but it was a very cool, very simple, but a very neat thing that they added to the show, I thought.
And then let's tear at your heartstrings with the adventure book from Up.
Yes. And again, I did not have enough of that Up house in my life during that show. I think they could have let the house be out there longer. However, I don't know. I kind of want to see if I can find some information on that house itself, because it maybe that's as long as they could have it out there. Maybe it was really heavy and really not safe to have it out that long. Who knows? I trust in you, Disney Imagineers, that are in charge of the fireworks. I'm sure there was a very good reason for you shortening up my house time.
And then, of course, to bring everybody together forever, they have a montage of several friendship moments from Disney films.
Yes, and it's
played with a version of You've Got a Friend in Me.
It's a much slower, kind of more lyrical version of You Got a Friend in Me.
It's just, I always just think of Randy Newman, and I think, I don't remember if it was SNL or somebody, but they were doing some, like, parodies of him, because when he sings, it sounds like he's just talking, and he's got that voice.
He's got a very unique style, that's for sure.
It's true. So, that pretty much wraps up all of the different fireworks shows that have been at the Disneyland Resort, at Disneyland. Now, there's been some fireworks along with World of Color stuff, and there were a couple fireworks shows over in Disney California Adventure, but that's a discussion for another
episode. That's a different day. Well, so to wrap up this discussion, we are going to talk about what's going to be happening tonight, July 4th, at the resort. So they do have
if you're listening on July 4th.
So this is July 4th is when this episode is going to be, I guess, airing.
Posted, yep.
Posted, available, however you say it. But they do have a special fireworks show. So the resort is celebrating by welcoming the 1st Marine Division Band, which is based out of Camp Pendleton, and they're participating in some local parades around Anaheim and Huntington Beach. So this band consists of 50 different Marine musicians, and it tries to preserve the country's strength and character when it's performing music and serving in combat zones. So they're going to be participating in the Daily Flag Retreat ceremony, which is at the Disneyland Park, which is going to be followed by a pre-parade performance from the town square to It's a Small World before the 6 p.m. showing of the Pixar Play Parade. And then at 7 p.m., the band will perform a special concert at the Fantasyland Theater. And then kind of to wrap up your 4th of July celebration, there's going to be a special patriotic finale after Together Forever, a Pixar Nighttime Spectacular.
Yeah, this is something that they have been doing for a few years now, where they'll just kind of tag on like a special finale, and it's pretty good. I mean, it's usually a few minutes long, added onto the existing show, and it's got, you know, all the patriotic music that everybody's excited about. There is one thing that's weird this year, is usually they do it from the first to the 4th, but not this year.
Yeah, this year it's only on the 4th that they're going to be doing this. And there has been, I have seen a little bit of backlash online, because some people did plan trips around this, thinking that they'd be able to see this extra kind of special stuff before the 4th. So there, you know, unfortunately there is a little bit of negativity going on around this, but it is still available if you're going to be in the parks on the 4th.
Well, I hope that as many of our listeners as possible can actually get out and enjoy Disneyland on the 4th. So, and if you're not, be safe. Don't blow your fingers off or anything.
Please, no.
be safe. There's plenty, you know, if you want to be totally safe, there's plenty of public fireworks shows that I'm sure that communities all over the country put on for this holiday. So go enjoy that.
Yes. And we know even though it's not as going to be as good as Disney, it is still fireworks. And who doesn't love a good fireworks show?
And also for those of you with pets, remember that not all pets love the fireworks. So put them in places that are quiet and give them lots of cuddles and stuff. Because do your dogs have problems with fireworks?
They don't, actually. I don't know why, but they don't. I'm very fortunate with
Jackie
that.
Jackie hates it. But Drake, when Drake was around, Drake like slept through it. So he's probably like your dogs. Well, as we wrap up this week, I want to thank all of you for listening each and every week. If you like what you're hearing and would like to support the show, you can help us by becoming a patron. Our patrons get some nice perks, including access to a supporter-only chat with us and fellow Disney Parks fan and some Disneyland weekly swag. And if you become a patron this month, you get that special little bonus thing we talked about. Find out more at disneylandweekly.com/support.
If you're in the midst of saving for your next Disneyland trip and can't afford to support the show with money, then help us out by sharing Disneyland Weekly on social media or by word of mouth with other Disneyland fans that you may know. If you're going to go to the park soon and want to be wearing some neat Disneyland Weekly swag, head on over to disneylandweekly.com/store to pick some up.
So if you want to get a really great deal on our Disneyland Weekly swag, if you buy between the 3rd and the 5th of this month, which this is getting posted on the 4th, so if you download it the first day it's up or the next day, and you use the promo code MERICA.
That's MERICA.
As in America. You can get 20% off anything in the store. It is only for that limited time. So if you've been holding off to get some Disneyland Weekly swag, now is the time with this promo. Well, we love seeing reviews on iTunes. It helps us get our ranking better so more people can find us and join the community. If you want to join in the conversation, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/DisneylandWeekly, on Twitter at DLWeekly, or by sending us an email at feedback@DisneylandWeekly.com. Feel free to email, Facebook, or tweet us any questions, feedback, or suggestions you may have about the show. We do have another listener feedback episode that will be coming up in a couple weeks. And next week we should be doing, if you're a patron of ours, at the cast member level, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing a live stream for next week's episode.
Yeah, and we will also be pulling our next name out of our Mickey ears hat to see who our next guest will be on for this month.
Yeah.
Well, we will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks and the fireworks. And it all.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
What was that last thing you said?
End it all.
End it all. It sounded like, blah, blah, blah. Like, I thought you were just making...
America, a land where eagles soar. Since history began, its people have celebrated the magnificence of this land. Tonight, we celebrate America, a land of many people, a country that continues to grow. Nation of courage and independence. America, the beautiful. Independence Day, we welcome you to our 4th of July celebration as we commemorate the birthday of this great nation. With joy, we celebrate the United States of America, a vast mosaic of individuality and inspiration, a vibrant palette of cultures and colors, a country whose pioneering spirit continues to live on in the hearts and minds of people who cherish freedom in this land and around the globe. Of beloved American folk songs, that enduring spirit is found in the music of our land.
This land is your land, this land is my land.
Just as the 50 stars and 13 stripes are so grandly united upon Old Glory, our nation's flag unites us all. Let us join together in salute to the red, white, and blue, and cheer the hopes and dreams that continue to shine throughout America.
Thank you for joining us for Disney's Celebrate America, a 4th of July concert in the sky.